This is Get Ready for Sunday from Corpus Christi Catholic Church in Tucson, Arizona. I'm Deacon Mark from Corpus Christi, and this week we're looking at the scripture readings for the Masses of the third Sunday of Easter in Year B in our church's lectionary cycle. We're in a period of the church year traditionally devoted to mystagogical catechesis. The obvious question that presents itself is, what the heck does mystagogical catechesis mean? So let's spend a minute on that. Mystagogy is a Greek word for leading to the secrets. Catechesis, also from classical Greek, is a term for teaching or memorization. In the very earliest Christian communities, the rites, rituals, and details about the doctrine of the emerging church were very closely held by the baptized. They were not revealed to those outside the community to avoid irreverence, mockery, and the obvious dangers present during times of persecution. Following baptism at Easter, new members, called neophytes, another Greek word that means newly planted, new members would continue to be instructed to deepen their understanding of the mysteries into which they had just entered. Today, mystagogy is applied to the period between Easter and Pentecost for neophytes as they become assimilated into the community's life. In a broader sense, it is understood as the lifelong period of living into a deeper understanding of the Paschal mystery of Christ and applies to all members of the church at all times. This period in the year is to be a reminder for us all of the truly shocking nature of the events of Easter. As Sister Mary McGlone puts it, we need to avoid proclaiming the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus with about the same amount of wonder as we say, the light just turned green. My personal view is that this period of mystagogical reminder is as important, perhaps even more important, for us who are lifelong members of the church, as it is for neophytes. During the Masses up until Pentecost, our first reading, you will recall, comes from the Acts of the Apostles, Luke's follow-up to his gospel. At this Mass, we hear Peter preaching to a crowd that has assembled following his healing of a crippled beggar. In the timeline of the book, this scene follows the Pentecost event, that great infusion of the Holy Spirit into the apostles. This healing took place within Solomon's portico. Solomon's portico was a colonnade or cloister located on the eastern side of the great temple's outer court in Jerusalem. While it was named after King Solomon, it was also known as the Woman's Court. This preaching of Peter is within the great temple. It is in front of Jewish people and some of the same Jewish leaders who conspired to have Jesus crucified. In his words, Peter is, on one hand, aligning himself with the crowd as he speaks of the God of our fathers and names Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from their shared lineage. On the other hand, he is chastising them for choosing Barabbas rather than Jesus for release by Pilate. And yes, there is a certain irony on the surface here in having these words come from Peter, the one who denied Jesus three times. Clearly, he, Peter, has been emboldened by the Spirit. This then is a reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter said to the people, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied in Pilate's presence when he had decided to release him. You denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death. But God raised him from the dead. Of this we are witnesses. Now I know, brothers, that you acted out of ignorance just as your leaders did, but God has just brought to fulfillment what he had announced beforehand through the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away, Now, St. Peter's style is distinctive. He is very direct and to the point. He does not mince words and can be blunt. Note the strong language in verses 14 and 15. You denied the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. The author of life you put to death. In a recent weekday homily at Corpus Christi, Father Chris compared Judas and Peter. Both disciples denied and abandoned Jesus. One disciple would go on to become the rock, the foundation of our church, while the other would hang himself. Father Chris ended his homily with the question, what was the difference between these two men? The answer is here in Sunday's reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Remember the words, repent and be converted that your sins may be wiped away. The same Peter who three times denied Jesus wept as the cock crowed and later proclaimed three times, yes, Lord, I love you. Peter repented. Jesus forgave. Judas never allowed himself to be a recipient of God's mercy. Our second reading comes, as it did last week, from the first letter of St. John. We will have a semi-continuous reading of this letter for three additional weeks. John authored three companion letters to the early followers of Christ following the completion of his gospel. These early believers faced many obstacles. They were expelled from the temple. They faced persecution. False teachers arose, proclaiming Jesus was not human, denying that he was the Messiah. In these later years of the first century, as the oldest living eyewitness to Jesus, John retained great authority within what had grown to be a rather large community of believers in Christ. John's letters were meant to reinforce what they had been taught. A central theme in this first letter assures believers they have indeed found new life in the risen Jesus. The first three chapters emphasize that the children of God keep his commands. At this Mass, we hear the beginning of chapter 2. A reading from the first letter of St. John. My children, I am writing this to you so that you may not commit sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is expiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for those of the whole world. The way we may be sure that we know him is to keep his commandments. Those who say, I know him, but do not keep his commandments, are liars, and the truth is not in them. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God is perfected in him. Now, on to the gospel for this Mass. The second and third Sundays of the Easter season give us stories of the resurrected Christ appearing to his disciples. Last week, we read John's account of Jesus appearing twice to his disciples, leading to Thomas's proclamation of Jesus' divinity. This week, our appearance story comes from Luke's gospel, as the two disciples from the road to Emmaus are relating their encounter with Jesus to the others now gathered in Jerusalem. Presumably all this is occurring on the second day after Jesus' resurrection. It will help, while listening to this passage, to remember the two who are described as speaking at the outset of the scene have just returned from a walk with, an eye-opening discussion with, and a meal with Jesus, whom they recognized in the breaking of the bread at table. It is noteworthy that this first revelation to these two was in the context of word, Jesus opening their understanding of Scripture, and sacrament, the meal with bread broken and shared. This then is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way, and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. But they were startled and terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. And then he said to them, Why are you troubled, and why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones. As you can see, I have. As he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, Have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Did you notice in this gospel, Jesus did one thing twice? He had to accomplish it first with the two on the road, and soon after with the assembled group in Jerusalem. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. In many ways, this story reflects some of the inspiration for Get Ready for Sunday. If you've ever tried to read the Bible from cover to cover, you know that it is a difficult, confusing task. Though it is divinely inspired, the Bible was not intended to be read as a normal book. It's a library, really. The language is archaic. Our lack of understanding about the cultural contexts in which the stories unfold is massive. Much of the imagery and nuance is hidden from us in our contemporary context. Your decision to look more closely at Scripture and to seek to absorb its wisdom and truth is a necessary first step toward a more mature faith. Another essential step is the gift to you of Spirit-inspired curiosity and openness. Each of us who responds to that prompting of the Spirit is invited to learn more for some essential reason. Whether you do exhaustive study and research, or you decide simply to click on this audio series, I trust that it is the Holy Spirit at work in you. You as an individual, and as a part of the living body of Christ. I have no idea what wonderful works God will do through you. And here I use the word you in both the singular and the plural sense. Individually and in the aggregate, I have confidence that great works of mercy, love, and forgiveness will be done for others if we remain facing in the right direction on our shared journey. We can hear and read this good news in this Sunday's gospel. Jesus inspired his disciples and opened their minds to understand the scriptures better, and they could not suppress the impulse to share his love and mercy with others. It should be the same for us. Each of us is uniquely called and uniquely equipped to communicate this good news of God's love within our own world. To respond does take courage and perseverance in the face of fear and cultural resistance. We do need one another in faith community to make real response possible. This resurrection story also illuminates something about Jesus' resurrected nature. He does not appear as a ghost or a hallucination or a vision. This is not some ancient alien with hologram technology. Jesus appears bodily, flesh and bone, bearing his wounds and carrying a physical hunger. Luke writes that the disciples were terrified and troubled at his appearance, Can you even begin to imagine what it must have been like for them? They witnessed him beaten. His death was public spectacle. The stone that sealed his tomb was enormous. Now, Jesus suddenly appears to them, stands in their midst, very much alive. Even after following Jesus closely and listening to him teach throughout his ministry, nothing had prepared them for this. Jesus told them three times that the Messiah would be rejected, have to endure suffering and death, and then be raised on the third day. Even these three direct predictions of his own passion would not be fully comprehended until after all was fulfilled. They have just heard also from two of their own about a remarkable encounter with the risen Jesus in the flesh. Yet the group greets his appearance with incredulous joy and amazement. Now, in this larger group, he shares a meal with them and teaches them. Again, it is in the context of word and sacrament that the encounter takes place. Luke makes a big deal of the continued confusion, amazement, and incredulity experienced within the community following Jesus' resurrection. It must be important for us to remember, too. Perhaps it's more important for us to experience. There can be nothing farther from the mundane. It is decidedly not just a traffic light turning green. That's enough for now. Next week will be an examination of the scripture passages for Good Shepherd Sunday. So, in the meantime, show up for Mass in person or online, and may God's abundant blessings be recognizable every day in your life.